So hey, it's Peter, and you are tuned to another episode of the Such Show Garden Podcast. Before we start this week's episode, I'll just let you know that the Landscape Show takes place in Battersea Park in London, the 18th and the 19th of September 2019. I will be speaking there again, as will a voice who features on this episode, Kate Galt. If you're coming along, tickets are available. You got to do a booking thing, but just Google it, Landscape Show, and it will come up for you. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. I look forward to seeing you there, and enjoy. It's another episode of the Such a Garden Podcast. The series has been, my apologies, brought to you with thanks to CD Natural Stone.
Put Myra Hindley on the bloody thing.
Your face looks better than mine, that's all I'll say. I'm in the company of Kate Galt. Keith is on his way. I know him better as KN Chappers for some unknown reason. We'll play this little bit of an intro jingle and we'll be back to you just after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sod Show Garden Podcast.
Got an itchy thing on my arm. There you go. I'll stand in between. Where do I go? You stand still. Okay. Kate. Keith, congratulations on Chelsea 2019. You came up in conversation yesterday over a pint of Guinness, surprise, surprise, and there's singing going on behind me, don't mind that. We were saying that in 17 you went up. That's an interview you should go back and listen to. In 18 you wrote the love song a little bit, you kept it a little bit more on a level. And then in 19, you went back up. And I was sort of saying, is it going to be compared to 17 in any way? Because they were the words that were being muted. And then I kind of get back up here and it's not all that it seems from the inside.
What the hell does that mean? I don't know. I don't understand the question.
Well, three gardens over 3 years. Yeah. One up, one sort of on the not requiring cranes as much. And then one is back up again. But the difference between 19 and 17 is colossal once you get inside it.
Yeah, this is 17 was probably more complicated than this. I didn't have to build it. Keith's now raising his eyebrows. This is bigger. It feels bigger, doesn't it, I think. Uh-huh. And it was probably more of a mammoth task. Sorry.
How mammoth are you talking?
It's more complex because it's angles. It wasn't squares. I think city living was all squares, so it was sort of, it seems easier in one sense. This was angles, and if you change one angle, it had a repercussion on another angle and just made everything a bit more complicated in some ways. But yeah, and it's a slightly bigger plot, a more awkward plot because of the restrictions on site. So yeah, it's more complex.
Were there things within that complexity of a build or of an intention that you intended to do, but then couldn't do? And I think in a lot of show gardens you'll hear people saying, well, we want to do that, but we had to change it to that because we ran out of money, so that's why the finish is that, or the stone company in some cases that broke and they only had one of them, so we had to change it to X. Or sometimes it's with trees, but in your case, I heard, I think coming up in the elevator, never mind the bouncy springy trampoline, not a trampoline thing that's on the second level, that maybe health and safety wasn't your best friend on this one.
No, health and safety was absolutely fine on this one. Keith's brilliant and all of that. So we were all harnessed up, all working up here safely, which is great. And once the lift was in, that was fine because it's great. You could use it. We've brought up more compost and plants in that than we ever brought up any other way.
Well, I don't reference that you were, you know, using a piece of string and a bit of duct tape to hold yourself as support. But did I hear correctly that you were intending to do
a water-powered lift that we just couldn't get signed off, could we, in the timeline? There isn't one that you can buy off the shelf. It's sort of something that needed more time than sort of even the few months that we had to get it pre-built, signed off, checked on all its safety systems and how we could get it to go.
We're on the second level. There are trees behind me. Mm-hmm. I saw photographs of these going up on lift. I've no idea what the amount of paperwork is like to be able to say that the weight of all of those trees will be supported by what's underneath. Never mind the dream of getting them absolutely up here to block out part of the marquee, which I have to applaud you on. That is immensely clever, and you could have left it out and nobody would have as such minded, but I wouldn't have slept right, and I don't think you would have either. I think Keith might have slept better.
A lot better. Yeah. There were sort of some quite brown trouser moments with the trees up here. The paperwork was easier than the trees. The trees were, they are, lesson learned. They are the furthest away that they could have been from the front of the garden. You know, if I put those 4 metres that way, it would have been easier.
Yeah. So I think they'd be in the market if you could go further back.
Yeah. Sorry.
Which I think you would need to do.
And of course you need the height, you need the scale. So they've got to be big. Actually, you picked them. I wanted smaller ones. It's your fault.
I'm going to angle you just in a little bit closer if I can, just so I'm just directional. What were the difficulties in piecing the garden together?
Piecing it together? It's materials. You've got glass, steel, porcelain, all materials that have fractions of Mills' tolerance in a build where you've got 16 days to do. So fractions of Mills are just a slow process, so it can make a build a lot longer than you think. They're the main complexities with this, is just very little tolerance.
You took a daydream, as I sometimes call it, you made it into an equation. We've heard some of the reasons why those equations were hugely important, and you made it look like a daydream again. It's the ultimate in writing a love song, but you actually add a boy's own formula to it, but you make it sound like Otis Redding.
Yeah, so is Keith the chorus?
I'm sure you always do this with me.
We have a good song for the garden.
Yeah, we're not going to sing it, though.
No, we can't sing it, but no, we have a good song. Not. The team has a very good song for the garden.
Over a pint of Guinness, obviously gin for me. We will sing it to you.
A pint of gin, yeah, indeed. The garden is for Green Fingers. We've got BBC.
I know, got BBC.
They're playing Delight Groove. What year is this?
1991.
Delight Groove, was that 1991? It's a great song.
It's live now, radio show.
All right, okay. Talk to me about making it appear not like an equation, because based on what Keith has been saying and based on just logic of structural holding weight, you've got all of the fun factors in. It is a Green Fingers garden, but it certainly does come across not looking like there was any equation in it on a very serious note.
We didn't want it to look like a garden for children who were ill. So that's your kind of magic number, is to try and get to that. But, getting it here is, on paper it's an easy thing. As soon as you hit the showground, the equation, you can add in a telephone number and then times it by 10 and add in the weather, and it all adds up to, to land on your shoulders heavily. But we had a very late night on Saturday, and the boys could have just gone home, but they didn't. I problem solved a way to do something, which would have been a compromise. And by the time I'd gone to get my car in and come back, they'd all decided they were going to stay, push through and do it properly. And that meant another 5 or 6 hours. So that equation can be whatever it wants. But unless you've got people like Keith and the whole team who absolutely want to do it to the best of their ability in the time frame that they have, then you're never going to get anywhere. So actually, it's the way you get to the end, you get to the sum, the finished sum, is with can-do people. And that's... I know Keith's just walked away now, but he... honestly, my hat goes off to all of them.
I've spoke about this over the last couple of weeks, about living in a bit of a bubble. Or if you're offered a seat in a rocket ship, don't ask what seat, just get on. But ultimately, the bubble of building a show garden where, as you say, there's an extra 6 hours required, the knock-on effect, the amount of time that takes, it's not just one man, it's man-hour units multiplied by six, if that makes better sense. But that can-do attitude, that this will be the best, everybody's on the same page, everybody's on the same wavelength, having the right people by your side is massively important. And anybody who's going to turn around and say, I don't feel good, I want to cry, I want to listen to Celine Dion, shouldn't be here at all.
No, and you have to get on. Fundamentally, there will be stressful times, but you have to get on. And I think the way that happens is everybody takes the mickey out of me.
Not going to deny.
Not going to deny that one.
I am
high on the list for, being dropped in a hole or being, short joke. There's always a short joke, Godzilla. Yeah, that's always a good one. Yeah. There's lots of them. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, but fundamentally, we all get on, we all laugh, at each other and with each other. And, you know, if we all sit down and have lunch together, have our tea breaks together, nobody goes off and has a moment. And, I mean, I had one yesterday, but that was for reasons, you know, to do with me, to do with how it's finished. And that's not in any way a reflection on the guys. It's about how I, you know, kick myself. And I'm never going to kick them as hard as I kick me.
I don't know, you kick us pretty hard. Yeah, right in the ribs.
I'll go somewhere else.
I feel like I'm stuck in a conversation between my mum and dad when Neighbours and Home and Away, wasn't that it? We're on at the same time and the kids didn't, my sisters didn't know which to watch. I've spoke with Lou or Linda Patrons. We've had her on the show. I interviewed her on a stack of pallets next to a skip in Battersea Park. And on a very serious note, for you listening at home, you should go back, find that one and listen to it. It puts a lot into context. And the big, strong Irishman will turn around on this occasion and say that I was very strong and that didn't get me in a Jerry Maguire moment at all. But I did pause it in between to catch my breath. Yeah, in a nutshell, what was it like? I find it difficult now even thinking about that conversation, not that that was hard, et cetera, but in order to get into it, you sort of have to sit down and hear the stories and you have to know where it's going, who it's going to represent. You have to ultimately do them justice. You have to do yourself justice and Keith and the team and make the garden look sexy, but ultimately it has to, as you rightly said, reflect what they want. How, for all of the right reasons and all of the very eloquent ones, how difficult was that? And did that maybe change at times what you were about to create?
I think we wanted to create a garden that was not maudlin or inward-looking or sad. This is a garden for families to come together and enjoy the time that they have as families, extended families, with their friends, with their, you know, children who've got who are ill, who have got elder siblings or younger siblings that are not ill. And it's about them as well. It's not just about that child. It's about the circles that radiate off that child. So, and also it's a Chelsea show garden, so it has to appeal to the public as well. It can't just be about one thing. It's got multi-leveled, if that's not a bad pun, on this garden, to appeal to so many people. So the brief really was to create something for Greenfingers, but we took it that it would be for a garden that was going to be pleasing to a lot of people, that would be uplifting and that children could come in of all abilities and use and enjoy.
For those who aren't aware, Keith, what do Greenfingers do? For those who maybe aren't going to go back and listen to that episode with Lou.
Greenfingers build gardens for children's hospices with like limited sort of life and sort of limited abilities, and sort of create spaces for families to actually enjoy time out of actual hospital bed, that's sort of just a short journey, and sort of so it gets them out into the fresh air and to sort of spend quality time together. And they do it across the country. It's sort of and just get sort of give secluded areas for people to enjoy sort of, yeah, the last sort of bits of time that they can together. And what better way than in a garden filled with flowers, scents, wildlife? There's nothing really better that you could do it for.
How big of a team was involved in piecing this one together?
There was a core crew of probably about 12 of us, and then we topped out at about 25, all working like little worker ants on it. Called in favours left, right and centre. People travelled literally from Wales, we had people come back down from Leicestershire, yeah, far and wide, and a chap from Northern Ireland come over, and Paul Martin, he's over, gave a couple of his days to plant.
We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, so, you know, it to do something on this scale takes a huge mammoth effort from a huge team, and the team we had on here is, it's a special little team. It's a sarcastic team. With dark humour, but it's to do something like this in the long days, the late nights, it's all about them boys really who actually pull it off.
When we spoke about your garden in 17, you spoke about hitting the pipe. I know there was a financial knock-on effect to that, and a magic couch that had money down the back of it. More so you were into an add-on of time, and I think you spoke to me in depth about the judges and how they understood what you had, I can't think of a better term at the minute, but sort of gone through because of what was unknown beneath the ground. Did you have any of that, or was it I feel a little bit saner now, or did you come across that?
We found another pipe.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, this one wasn't quite as problematic. But, there are issues with the build, not to do with Keith or the team, but I think it's not as finished as it should be. So I think, tomorrow will be a day to swallow pride. So I'm not, we do all this for the charity, and we do all this for our own good. So yesterday I was not in a particularly happy place.
I'm going to put one to you about a very good friend of mine, long story, not with us anymore, and pedantic to say the least was an understatement, but he put it in the pieces of wood that go down your balancer on the spindles. Is that what you'd call them? Yeah. And when you got to the very, very bottom, the last one was 1/16 of an inch out from the first post. So he took them all up and he started all over again.
Yeah, we don't have that luxury.
No, I appreciate that. Bear with me. What he said to me was, I said, come on, Noel, what's the story? And he said, look, I'd notice. I got it immediately that there was an incorrectness there that he would see every time he walked up the stairs, but nobody else would get. When you refer to, shall I call them, inaccuracies or things that you suggest you maybe could do better, are they things that in my gardens, in my head, I'm the only one who sees them?
No. I'd be really surprised. No.
Let me give you a different one then. But when we did the garden in Cardiff for Perennial, again, a charity, we had a 2.5 grand budget. We got our feedback. One half of my head was saying to the judges, you're off your head. Mm. The other half of my head was saying, we 2.5 grand. Mm. We were off our head. Ed's quote to me was, we could not have done anything more. We had 2.5 grand. You might have found fault with that. You found the faults that we didn't see, but that's your job. But we still had 2.5 grand. There are limitations and things that you do when you do it with charities.
There are, but we've also put our hand in our pocket as well for this, because you have to.
Yeah.
So I think it wasn't money that was our enemy, it was time and nothing that we could do anything about. And that's what galls. To have put the guys through this much, yeah, it galls.
I'm not being clever here, but is Kate being a bit hard on herself and the team, even though she's right beside me?
No.
No, I don't mean that. I mean,
I couldn't praise any more if I tried.
No, I don't mean it like that. What I mean to say is I see the garden, and I've never seen this before, and I wasn't part of the build. I wasn't part of baking the cake, and it made me smile.
That's good.
I haven't found the imperfections that you have seen, again, like the 1/16th of an inch. When people, well, there you go. And again, I'm sure the judges may seek that. But again, you take budgets, you take your time, you take your own money. You take what is maybe gold standard with a show garden when you put all of those titles at the top of the page. But you see the bits that aren't entirely correct, where I see Otis Redding and there's a ray of sunshine. And you see, because I know the behind the scenes of Green Fingers, and I know what they've done, and I know where it's going to go. And ultimately, I think there are a couple of places you can take a show garden. And one is you aim only for medal, which for me is a formula garden. You build a swimming pool, as John Lennon would have said to Paul McCartney when they wanted to write a new love song. And that's exactly what they did. Or you turn around and you sing with your heart. And when you sing with your heart, people can turn around and say, well, I don't think you loved her enough.
I don't think we could just put a show garden, like a formulaic show garden, together. It doesn't come out of either of us. Doesn't.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Keith may just point the finger at me and say it's all your fault, but actually he is equally as nutty as I am and will contribute. We all do in the office. Contribute to the greater scheme, come up with other things, add things in, do other bits. But realistically, it's not where I want it to be. I don't think it's where Keith wants it to be. But 95% of it is right. But that 5% will niggle the pair of us and everybody else we work with forever.
Mainly because everybody's just perfectionists. Everybody only wants the best thing that they could ever do. And when you look at it compared to what all of us have done other years, it's not quite as polished. And that's because each and every person on the team is, in their own right, a perfectionist and extremely anal over how they finish things.
And you have a charity that you want to do the best for. you know, you really, really want to outperform for them.
Okay, I'll refer to myself in saying this so I don't refer to you and then maybe get a mildly inaccurate. There's more singing. But again, on the 2.5 grand budget garden, and this episode isn't about me, I think it's... Every episode's about me and Bronwyn, yeah, as well, you know, and our love affair.
Yeah, don't tell her husband.
But it's a fictitious love affair.
Good.
I live in a small island off the coast of Ireland. We should stick with gardens for the minute. I'll tell you about that in another episode, folks at home. We were our own hardest critics. I always am my own hardest critic. Yeah. Even when it's good enough, I want to change something and make it better. But that's what allows me not to go stale. It is what excites me when I know that you're going to come up with, I hope I nailed this one right, but I think I have it right after your third time on the sideshow. But for a daydream to come up, and I'll say it again, for a person to be able to translate that and make it into a reality, and for it to appear like a daydream all over again. You do that seamlessly. But whether I built the Taj Mahal and people thought that was amazing and I got 15 gold medals, I would still find fault with it. Shall I have done that myself? But it allows me not to get stale.
Yeah, you always have to learn from your mistakes. Every day is a school day. You have got to keep learning. That's what these things teach us as well. So we know a lot of things now that we didn't know before. Yep. So the double basement and the bridge for... Whenever we do it again, we'll be absolutely fine. Swimming pool, car lift.
Different contractor.
No. Part the ship, part the crew.
I think the girl behind me only knows two songs. For those who haven't seen it, what is the garden that is 2019 for Greenfingers?
What does it look like?
Describe it to me, yeah.
Green. It is green.
Especially for me.
But not fingery.
Okay.
It's green. With lots of balls, and green and white and yellow. Multi-levelled, nice trees, sloped walkways, disabled access, and a lift.
Do you know something I never even noticed, the disabled access?
Yeah, sloped access, no steps, step-free.
We're on the upper level, and Keith had made a suggestion about where we could do the interview.
On the cargo net. Yeah, lying on the cargo net. And Kate's about to go on it. Shall we push it?
Well, you can push her if you want,
but... Don't push me.
What, you want to lie on the cargo net and do the interview?
Have you ever done...
Don't no, I haven't. Okay, let's go. We're lying... I'm so afraid of heights, it's unreal.
Braver than we are.
All right, I tied the bolts.
Did you?
Yeah, well, we'll take time much on the legs.
I'm now lying on my back on the upper level of Kate's garden.
Hey, this could be a right interview now.
Here we go.
Yeah. Can you get a photograph of this, can you?
Hang on.
This is a little bit.
Hello.
Hello, the Brahman.
Hey, guys.
This sort of changes absolutely everything now, doesn't it?
Well, the idea is you come out, you can lie on a net, you can look up at the trees, see nature. You might have been stuck in a room for months and months and months in a hospital room. This would change the way you look at the world.
I've lay on my back, in my back garden, looking up at the silhouette of the trees. I've never done it. At any
above the ground.
3 metres above the ground at any show garden ever.
Yeah, but look below you as well. Like, I know you're scared of heights, but...
I am fantastically scared of heights. Oh my God, that's phenomenal. I'll try and get some kind of a video of this to show you.
Yeah.
But that is ultimately potty. There's a kid screaming below us.
Yeah. Smile.
That's
you
okay.
Smile. Snail, she's looking under the bench. Cool.
On a serious note, when you piece this together, when you were dreaming it, did you actually picture doing something like this?
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because I don't see what's in Kate's head. I think she's a nutter. I just said that there was a cargo net in Singapore that looked really cool.
And then all of a sudden
she says, oh, we'll put it in the garden then. It's like, yeah, all right. Yeah, that'll be easy. Yeah, we'll make that work somehow, Kate.
Don't know whether you at home can hear Keith talking. He's just a little bit further away than... Are you able to lie down here as well, Keith?
Give you a sandwich.
That's mad. What's the weight load on this?
Less than you and me. I'm joking.
No, Keith's in it now.
Yeah, it'll take. Hello.
Have you done this a few times?
We tested it with the Irish contingency first. I'm Welsh, yeah. So just to make sure that, you know, if Aaron fell, he hit the ground hardest. But, yeah, I tested it. We jumped on it. So it takes a big weight. Some of the lads are quite big as well, so you know. Will's definitely a good size, so it can take a bit of pounding.
I can't see the BBC, who like, no disrespect, lads, who like 1981 pop tunes, lying down on this doing an interview with you.
No, I think probably you are the only person who would come onto a cargo net to do an interview. It takes one nutter to know another.
That was it takes one nutter to know another. Absolutely, I will accept that compliment. Speaking of nutters, well, more sane nutters than me, maybe, Paul Martin was on.
Yeah, Paul Martin. Paul Five Shirts Martin. Uh-huh. We love Paul. He came to help plant, demand tea, stand around and point a lot. He was absolutely brilliant.
Keith does a very good impression of him now.
So do you.
I'm not getting into this. No. I'm going to ask you this question, Keith. What's the next step for you? Because when you do the impossible bit, it just seems to get a little bit more impossible. And I know you run a little bit on that, or I think you thrive on knowing that you can do things that other people see as slightly impossible, or others might laugh a little bit at, but you, again, seamlessly, to your credit, seem to pull it off.
Yeah, I think next, Katie and I were discussing next about what we could actually do that would be different and hasn't been done, so, you know, we need to go away and have a think about what's going to be the next, probably not so easy, probably quite insane, and you know, we've been up, we might end up going a different way. So see if we can do something totally different in another way. But, you know, we just have to back to the drawing board and see what will push all of the boys, because the boys come up with some stupid ideas. So, you know, Kate's the one who makes it all pretty and makes it work. We just sort of, we'll do our best to build whatever she designs.
Well, he says stupid. My head says, oh my God, that's absolutely amazing. We should do that.
Well, that's what I say, but you know, I am talked down occasionally, and quite rightly so. but I think, you know, it would be lovely to do just a nice garden with some trees and bits in it. But that's not what comes out of my head. You know, it comes out of a lot of other people's head. Yeah, it's very true. What comes out of my head is quite scary. What sometimes comes out of my mouth is even scarier. But I think it is. I don't know. I think what we do and what we come up with is just that we like building gardens, and we like to build gardens to be in, not just to look at. We want, you know, people to come into the garden and say, I love being in here, not I like to stand outside it and look at it.
Will you write a swimming pool?
Maybe.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, will you actually go and do a garden that makes you a few quid next?
Oh, no Chelsea Garden. I don't know. I've never made money on Chelsea Garden. So we might go and do some private work that earns some money. Need to pay some bills, so that would be good.
Yeah. What are you going to do for the rest of the year?
Sleep.
Earn some money. to allow him to sleep.
The Kilimanjaro. Yeah, signed up to do that. So Kate's punishment to me was, you're going to build me another tall show garden. Mine was, ha-ha. Touché, I'll make you climb a mountain.
When's that, September?
September. So we do the landscape show and then we get on a plane to Tanzania.
Oh yeah, now I'm reminded. You did the TV thing with Keith. I was actually in Burnham's house last night. We were watching it on the replay after Pints of Guinness, because pubs close on a Sunday at 10 o'clock over here, which is entirely sane. Well, unless you live in my town, there'd be mayhem over it. But you were on in the Fandango dungarees.
I love a dungaree. You know as well as I do, I love a dungaree. I was almost tempted to wear them today.
Yeah.
They're very comfortable, practical, lots of pockets.
I was just a bit surprised because I sent you the note saying bewitched. And you are?
I thought you'd like me dad.
Oh, Jesus. That's actually a very good accent.
Yeah.
Keith, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
You're welcome.
I think I'll just stay here for a little bit.
We're going to get out and leave you.
Yeah.
We'll watch you get out. You'd be like a tortoise on its back.
I'm going to just sort of one of those trim in one rope and see how it goes.
That's it. If you listen at home and you need a touch on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow. This episode with thanks to CD, Natural Stone, Giles, etc. Appreciate it, lads.